I'm going to start right there at Proverbs 1. We're going to talk a little bit. Amen? So if you're trying to write down a sermon title, it is Proverbs 1. Or remember when you have found it, please stand. Amen. Proverbs, the very first chapter, very first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Key verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You may be seated. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Now, the book of Proverbs was primarily a book of sayings by Solomon. And Proverbs is not the type of book that asks us a question. Because Proverbs doesn't really entertain what you think. Proverbs is a book of sayings on what is. You know, and who more to write it than Solomon himself? Here was a man who got wisdom from God. And even with all his wisdom, he didn't always follow God. And so, through this journey of Proverbs, he's going to tell you some truths. Now, it's up to us whether we accept it or not. But he doesn't care if you do or you don't. See, one thing that I like about God's word is that it's unapologetic. It says what it says, and it means what it means. You know, in our society, we do everything to be politically correct. Even inside God's house, we will change order, change rules, change structure so that everybody can be made to feel welcome. But the Bible does not care about any of the world's politics. The Bible is not concerned with hurting your feelings. The Bible is merely concerned with lifting you up. And sometimes it takes a sword to lift you up. If you're true about yourself. You know, some people want to be sugar-coated. Some people want to be smoothed. You know, and some people want to feel very important about where they are. But the Bible does not care. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Proverbs was written, it was written to tell you something that would help you live your life. Now, either you're going to accept it, you're going to take it, or you're going to reject it. Like any other thing, when your mom and dad gives you advice, you're either going to accept it or reject it. If you accept it, good things may happen. If you reject it, bad things may happen. But whose fault is it that you accept or reject? Amen? So we start off with the book. It says that it is for gaining wisdom. That's for gaining knowledge, for gaining power, for gaining understanding on how to live your life. It's for instruction, for the rules of engagement. You know, any great athlete has to be instructed on what to do. You're going to run, we know the Super Bowl is today, and they're going to run plays and stuff. Well, all those things come from instruction. Now, the wisdom they got in order to make a game plan for the opponent that they are playing. Once you have the game plan, then you have to instruct those to understand. In other words, if I'm sitting and I know my opponent well, and I see them do something, because I've studied them and I've learned them and I have instructions, then I know what I'm about to see. You know, you hear him say sometimes a cornerback may jump a route. Well, he knew that the quarterback was going to throw this particular pattern or play based upon what he's done in the past. In other words, they've done their homework. Instruction. Solomon is given all that he has because Solomon realizes that even in my best, it wasn't good enough. Amen? The Bible says that for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. And we like to use that word fair. Life ain't fair. You know, it just ain't fair. How come he has it and I don't? How come she got it and I don't? I'm doing the best I can. So we like to throw around the word fair, but you got to understand, like I've been saying the last couple of weeks, that favor itself, it ain't fair. What we have to do is what God has given us the assignment to do. And you have to be happy with what God has given you to do. You know, you can't sit there and be mad because you're not the pastor. You know, I have a lot of folks who left because they wasn't able to hold positions of leadership. Right? So they go somewhere where they can hold a position of leadership. But you have to question the leadership that's there that will allow someone to come in and already be a leader in the house. You know, are you really following God's word or are you looking for population? God himself has never been concerned with population. He's concerned with quality. The harvest is plenty. So we got the quality, right? I mean, we got the quality. But the laborers are few, so the quality isn't there. Amen? And so Solomon wants us to begin to examine our lives. From A to Z. From everything that we do or that we say we do about how much we truly love God and how much we would truly serve God and how much we truly worship God. Well, he's saying, if you're looking at all of that, then let's come back down to the mere basic instructions for what God has given us to do. Wisdom would tell us to check the book out. Because if we read this book, we gain knowledge. We gain understanding. We gain wisdom. And been being taught in Bible study and Sunday school, we gain what? Instruction. How to live our lives. How to be more fulfilling. Amen? For giving prudence to those who are simple. In other words, for those who are foolish. How many fools do we have here? Well, nobody want to raise their hand on that. But the reality is that if we're not following God, then we fools. See, we raise a hand for all the good. How many smart, intellectual? Hey, that's me right there. You know, how many love the Lord? I love the Lord. How many fools we have? He ain't talking about me. But the reality is, if we're not following his wisdom, if we're not gaining his insight, if we're not doing what he called us to do, if we're not walking the path that God has set before us, then we are walking fools. And that's what I love about God's word. It's unapologetic. It says what it says. It calls us out and forces us to begin to self-examine ourselves. You know, see what really it is about me, or am I just stanky? You know, and the stuff that I do and the way I approach things, is my mind the mind of Christ or was my mind the mind of man? The Bible says that knowledge and discretion to the young, for those just coming up, for those still learning, that's the power of wisdom. You know, when you set your son down and you begin to have a talk with him about life itself, you want to tell him all the pitfalls to watch out for. You want to explain to him the good things and the bad things and everything that's out there, all of the stuff that you yourself fell upon because you didn't listen. Amen. So we want to take that and want to bring our young people up to be better than what we were. But it still takes them to listen. Amen. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. In other words, just because you think you know something don't mean you got it all. It said, let the wise, it didn't say let the fool right there, right? It said, let the wise, that means the known, the understanding, the learned. Let the learned listen and add. Yes, sir. That's why I said nobody knows it all. That's why I said we come to class and we study and we learn, because every day you learn something new. Every day you should gain some more knowledge and more experience. We ourselves haven't been through every situation. One of the things I like about the marriage ministry is that we're going to dive into that stuff. You know, there are things that one marriage has went through that one has not yet. And in order to avoid the one from going down there, the one that went through that something, if they would speak it and the one on the other side would learn it and listen, they wouldn't have to go down the same road. Wow. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Let the wise learn. Gain to their understanding. Keep on learning. You're always a student of this game. Nobody has it all figured out. Anybody that I hang out with to tell me they got it all figured out, I got to hit the door. Because they can't learn no more. They think they know it all. And we know people like that in our lives, don't we? They know everything. As soon as you say something, yeah, I know that. I've been there, done that. You ain't done it all. Take some time and listen, because listening is essential to walking with God. He speaks to us. And people say, well, he never spoke to me because you're not listening. Because what father do you know speak to his child and the child ain't listening? Which one do you know? Which mother who will say something? And you know, because you said when you said it growing up, I know it's going in one ear and out the other ear, but I'm speaking to you. I'm trying to tell you something. And you sit there like, yeah, I don't know what the heck they talking about. Well, how do we sit there and in turn say the same thing when God is trying to speak to us? We go, yeah, but you don't know what you're talking about. Everything in our lives, if we go down the road and begin to call out the mistakes in our lives, and we belong to God, I guarantee you that before the mistake was made, God was speaking to you.
All right.
But because it wasn't what you wanted to hear, you did not listen. Because it wasn't in your pipe, it wasn't in that frame. Lord, that's not what I really want to hear. So maybe that ain't you, Lord. And then when the Lord is giving you a go, because you are afraid or you scared, you say you ain't listening, because Lord, ain't nowhere in the world you could send me somewhere like that, because that's not, but if we study his word, we know that God is going to put you in some uncomfortable situations in order that his glory may be filled.
Come on. I like that.
Wow. Listen to what God has to say to you. You may not always like it, but I can tell you one thing. God knows exactly what he's talking about. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. You see it, but you don't understand it. You have discerned, I shouldn't marry this individual. But you don't let it seek in. So, let the discerning, those who have the ability to see, get the guidance so they know that what I see is true. What I'm hearing from God is real. Because God cares about me. God understands my every move before I make him. He knows God is the greatest chess player of all times. But those who ever played chess, you got to understand when you play in chess, you can't just play for yourself. You got to play for you and the opponent that you're playing with. Because when you make a move, you have to determine what his counteract is to your move. And then you got to discover what your next move is to his counteract. And if you begin to play the game before him, you are in essence showing the whole hand. But the minute you stop thinking about your opponent's move, you get stuck in checkmate. Well, God says, I know your move, my move, your move, outside moves. I know everybody moves before they make it. So if you really want to play the game a little bit better, listen. I tell you what moves you need to make. I tell you what paths you need to walk down. I tell you who you need to hang with. I tell you who you need to marry. I tell you who you need to get away from. But you got to believe. Last week, Reverend Miller preached about if you only believe. That's the signature to listening. Because you're going to believe someone you have respect for. That's when we come down to this here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear. Not afraid. Not scared. But the awe. The respect. The knowing that God is everything he said he is. The I am of the Bible. The I am of the world. The I am of my life. Knowing that this very God has preeminence over every thought pattern that I have. I have the complete fear that God can and will do whatever he said he can do.
All right.
Amen. So the fear of the Lord, the understanding of him, is the beginning of knowledge. Because what it does, it takes away the pressure on you to be able to think you're smarter than God.
All right.
He controls all knowledge. Controls all understanding. And talked about this morning, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, who you think made that tree?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That tree didn't just come up because Satan made it.
Yeah.
God made that tree.
That's right.
So all knowledge, contrary to popular belief, belongs to God and not to us. Because without his knowledge, we are but fools. I can look over my life and look at the parts where I didn't let his knowledge sink in. And I made some foolish mistakes. I did some foolish things. I went some foolish ways. I hung with some foolish people. I had foolish things happen in my life. All because the knowledge that God was giving me, I foolishly rejected. Proverbs is saying, I'm going to take you on a ride. I'm going to take you on a journey, but I need you to listen and understand that everything that we're saying here is to make us better. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But here's where we kick back here. We know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We say we love him. We say we want to serve him. But how many of us really understand the meaning of serving? Because he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The proud, the haughty, you know, those who just got it going on, those are just too blessed to be stressed. Those who are highly favored, you know, those who are in their season. All this good stuff going on. Everybody, the Lord. No. That's all superficial stuff. Because, see, if you're doing something just to please man, then everything you're doing, it stinks before God. It may look good to people, but God knows exactly why you're doing it. We've already preached about that this year. Just because you fasting and praying, if the reality is you fasting and praying just so that man can see you, then God isn't hearing or seeing what you're doing. Wow. See, whatever we do that has to deal with God has to be real. Huh? Mm. Has to be deep down from the core of your very soul so that God knows that you're doing everything in your power to live a holy and righteous life. No one in the Bible was perfect, but God loved them and cared for them and healed them and fixed them and created them because he knew they had a desire, they had a heart, and they were trying their best to be able to walk with God. But sometimes along the way, being that we have the blood of Adam, we make some mistakes. Solomon had everything. He was the most powerful one, the greatest kings of all time. But he even went against some of God's will. And because he did, he found out in the end.
Yeah.
All this was for nothing.
Yeah.
The greatest thing that we have is our relationship with God. The knowledge and the wisdom that he will give us to live the right life. What's the right life? One with wisdom. Decisions that you make. Do you consult God with everything? I ain't talking about the so-called big things. I'm talking about everything. Even a little. That's what my wife said. Pray. See what God tell you to do about this weekend. Now, I'm a pastor. I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking about people. I said, people are fickle. You know, those who love the Lord and those who like the Lord. So I wasn't thinking about those who truly love the Lord. I was thinking about the likes. You know, the likes are the kind that when it's snowing, they don't show up. When it's raining too hard, they inside listening or watching T.D. Jakes or somebody and say, Rev, I know I didn't make it, but I was in church this morning.
Well,
see, the likes are the one who come in when it's convenient. The likes are the one who come in on Sunday so they get that first communion, don't come back again until next Sunday.
Well,
see, those are likers of God, but not lovers of God.
Yeah.
And so I was concerned about the likes. If the situation, if everything wasn't ideal, if everything wasn't perfect, then I'm not really going to be able to make it. And God understands that. Well, he understands that you like him. He don't understand that you love him. Because when you come down to being uncomfortable, who had the most uncomfortable move of all time? Christ had to come down from his heavenly throne to a place that didn't care anything about him. So he was uncomfortable. We sitting in our comfort zone. We just don't realize how comfortable we are. But that's why there's everything in wisdom and gaining knowledge and understanding. My people perish. So with this book, hopefully we're going to walk down Proverbs. Look at ourselves and see how we stand up to God's word. Because the one thing I do know about God is that his intent and his desire is to bless us. When he wakes us up in the morning, he desires to bless us. When he allows us to make it through another day, he desires to bless us. When he lays us down at night to go to sleep, he desires to bless us. So I know what his desire is. I just pray that my desire can be to fulfill. I just want to give back what God gives me.
Right.
I want to gain the understanding of everything I can gain an understanding of that I might make the right decision in my life. That I might guide this church the right way.
Well,
that I might guide my family the right way. See, every instruction that we need is in God's word.
Come on.
Whenever there's an argument or a fight and we can't figure out an answer, you start pouring through the book. Because this here is that rule of measurement for us. This is our word. This is our guide. This is our playbook. And so if we study the playbook and we begin to play that game of life that God has given us, we can understand that every move that a child of God makes, we have to look out for the move that Satan or our flesh will make. And so if we begin to play the plays the way they're supposed to be played, and we're reading our game book every day and understanding that we are victorious, well, we can begin to play like victorious people. The problem with some of us saints is we play like we are losers because we don't understand that we got the victory, because we don't gain the wisdom, the knowledge, nor the understanding that it takes to be successful on the field of play. You can say whatever you want about this Super Bowl that's coming today. Win or lose, I could care less. But when it comes down to the word of God and winning souls for Christ, I got utmost desire, and I got to make sure I understand my playbook. I'm not going to have folks outside tailgating for me, saving a lost soul. They could care less. But if I looked up into heaven, I see a tailgate in heaven. I see God and the angels standing on high saying, look at my servant. Look at them preparing, because we know that winning is inevitable. But it starts with instructions. It starts with wanting to learn. It starts with understanding your opponent. It starts with training, making sure you are physically ready to engage this battle. God called us soldiers. In other words, until he comes to get us, we on the battlefield. Amen. The Bible says to put on the whole armor. Why in the world would we need to put on the whole armor if we weren't going to be in a battle? The reason why you put on armor, because you're trying to protect yourselves from the fiery darts and things that are coming your way, because every day you wake up, you in battle, but you wouldn't understand it if you have not gained the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, nor have the fear of God. You think Solomon know what he's talking about? You think he understands a little bit of something about what we're about to get into? Read your playbook. Study your opponent. Know yourself. And know when to get in and when to get out. Because the greatest thing about knowing yourself and knowing the book and understanding the instructions and gaining wisdom and knowledge is knowing when it's time for you to do what you got to do, and when it's also time to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we fight and we ain't got no business fighting. God is trying. He's saying, listen, sit still on this one. Sit still and let me handle. I got this one. This one right here, you can't handle. But you let me handle, and I'm going to show you. Because remember, I preach that God has our front and he has our rear. The reverence, the fear of knowing that God is in control. God has my back, and I'm thankful that God has my back. And I'm thankful that I'm on his team. So read Proverbs with me. Go down, even before I get to certain things. I'm going to pick and choose out of here based upon what God gives me. We're going to bring it back every Sunday unless he gives me something else. But I want us to go on a journey that will open up our eyes to what we're doing and straighten out and get rid of the mess so that God can bless. Because that is his desire, right? He wants to bless us. He wants us to be larger than life, because the one we serve is larger than life. If my daddy is everything, that makes me everything. And if I can understand that I'm everything, I need to take my little fleshly stuff, get out the way, and let God lead. Amen? Amen. Those in the church are open this morning.